you know, we stopped. I think we stopped when we were talking about Boss's Life. And how did that song get together? Did you hear the beat first, or did you already have the idea in your head?
Nah, what happened with that particular song, we were just sitting around in the studio and Dre was playing beats. And when that beat came on, I was like, I like that shit right there. So I started jotting down some shit to it, you know, a little, I don't, all that little shit in the beginning started coming up with that kind of feel. And then you just started fucking with it. And before you know it, me, him, and DOC started putting the pen and the paper together, and shit came out like magic. And then once we got to the hook part, I reached out and called Akon. They had my boy Stat Quo reach out to him and bring him up there. So he came up there and swung the hook, because we had already did the one on my album and the one on his record. So it was more about just, you know, he just felt like he could be on this song, like it sounded appropriate for him to get on it. He put that hook together, all came together like magic.
What do you think of, you know, people saying right now that Akon is kind of taking Nate Dogg's spot and shit?
Don't say that too loud. Nate Dogg might hear you.
You know, I'm going to ask Nate Dogg about that, too.
Now, he ain't sleeping. Nate in the lab right now. He in my studio right now working as we speak. So don't, you know, don't play the homie cheap and think that he lost his spot. I mean, it's beautiful that Akon is doing his thing. That's what it's all about. It's about opening up doors and creating avenues. Nate created that lane for Akon, you know what I'm saying, for people to sing hooks and turn them into getting albums or whatnot. So that's a beautiful situation. I work with both of them on my album, and like I say, you can't sleep on Nate Dogg, because he always keep a hook up on his hat. Sooner or later, he gonna drop it.
Of course not. To me, Nate Dogg is, you know, he got a spot. I just read that, you know, a couple spots, people talking shit like that, so I just wanted to get your take from it, because, you know, you go way back with Nate, and you've been working with Akon.
I'm down with both of them. I'm pretty sure that Akon was inspired by, you know, Nate Dogg or whatnot, being over there in Africa, hearing Nate Dogg on all the fly gangster shit that we did. I'm pretty sure that inspired him to want to, you know, get his crap together and think that he could do it and know that he can do it. So it's a good thing, but that's what I always say about, you know, the media or people in general. They always love friction instead of just praising Akon for what he's doing and appreciating the fact that he's doing a good job and he's singing hooks. And, you know, Nate Dogg is probably in the studio working his album. It's always got to be some conflict comparing and judging, as opposed to just, you know, be thankful that we got two niggas out of the hood singing and doing something good with their life.
Definitely, man. And, you know, then we get to track 10, which was LAX. You know, a lot of people looked at that as a disappointment, you know, looking at the people that were on it and the production. You know, a lot of people were disappointed by that song.
I wouldn't give a fuck about a lot of people being disappointed. Who are the lot of people? I ain't never met them.
Because, you know, when I heard Snoop and Cube over a Battle Cat track, I was kind of expecting something else, you feel me?
That's your opinion, you know what I'm saying? And who's to say you got the number one opinion?
I didn't say it was something else, and I was just letting you know what I felt about it.
I got to let you know, if we're going to be real, let's be real 100%.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm aiming for.
With no real shit. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to like everything I do, because everything I do is not for you. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, those who do understand that record and love that record is for them. That's the way me and Q was feeling at the time when we made that record. So it was like, we could go and make any kind of record to impress you or whoever was expecting what kind of record for us to make. But at that point, we was making records for the hood. We had never came together and made a hood record. We had already made a record that everybody liked, the one that was on his record. I was on his record 2 times, and everybody approved of that record right there. Now, this record right here was on the blue carpet treatment because it was some hood shit, and me and Cuz made a hood record. That's how I get down. When I made Beautiful, that wasn't for the hood. That was for the bitches. Period. When I make records for certain occasions or the way that I'm feeling. So it don't bother me when a motherfucker say, well, I don't feel that, or motherfuckers, because that song particularly wasn't written for you. It was written for the expression that I was feeling at that time. And when I make a gangster song, that's the gangster shit that I'm on. When I make a positive song, I'm on some positive, peaceful shit. So, you know what I'm saying? That's what I was on. That's what me and Q was on. And by the way, when we perform that motherfucker on stage every night in Canada, it's getting great responses.
I feel you, man. I wasn't trying to attack you. I was just letting you know. I got to let you know how I feel, and you let me know how you feel. It's all good, man.
Yeah, that's what it is, though. I mean, you know, this Snoop Dogg, it's a veteran, a seasoned vet. I put out records before where nobody liked the records, and they sold 2 million albums. So who the fuck is nobody? Who the fuck is anybody? I don't really trip off of critics, because critics are hidden behind microphones or behind magazines. A real motherfucker could never come in the studio and create what we create. We put songs together from our heart, from our mind, from our soul. So for a nigga to not appreciate it, it don't bother a nigga, but at the same time, it's like, don't speak on something if you don't understand the elements of making a record or putting together a record. This ain't no shit where we just go in there and just close our eyes and come up with a song. This shit is hard thought out. This is like a job. It's like your job, what you got to do with putting up your website trying to make motherfuckers tune in to what you're doing when you got a million other motherfuckers out there. But when niggas like me give you interviews, you become a big part of the game.
I feel you, man. I appreciate your honesty, though. I hope you appreciate mine.
Man, you know, this is what I do, cuz. Don't nothing stop me, man. I've been doing this shit before I had a record deal, homie. I'm the greatest of my time. Muhammad Ali is the greatest of all time. I'm the greatest of my time.
I feel you. I feel you. So after that, we get to 10 Little Crips. Tell us about that song. You know, what made you do that song?
Well, Pharrell produced that song and gave me the idea for it because he was seeing me on some shit where I was telling the story about my little homies, because I was always, whenever we'd be in the studio, we'd be talking, and I explained to him how my little homies was crazy. You know, the younger they was, the worse they was, and they don't die, they multiply. So he was like, you need to do a song like this. So he produced it, gave me the idea for the hook, and I put the lyrics together, and it's just some, you know, like I say, this record is mainly hood-orientated, me going back to the basics of making hood music. I'm not tripping off of being a megastar, an icon, or a million record seller. This is me making records for those that I started with. That's the hood. That's the underground. So that song right there is representative of all my little homies that's out there getting their bang on 10 Little Crips. That's what it is.
Yeah, I thought your flow was real sharp on that one. Like, you were really just hungry on that song.
It's the emotion of the little homies. You know, every song has a different feeling. That song was driven by my little homies. I'm trying to reach them, not in a negative manner, but just to let them know that I'm aware of them out there doing what they do. Because sometimes the little homies just want to be noticed. They just want to be recognized. And sometimes if I recognize them, that might stop them from popping a nigga or dropping a nigga just because they was recognized by Snoop Dogg. As crazy as it sounds, but as real as it can be.
Pharrell really came with a bang on that one.
That's what Pharrell do. He's a perfect match for me. Me and him, we make good music together, so I want to give him a shout out. I don't plan on, you know, leaving him no time soon. Me and him going to be together for a minute.
I feel you. And, you know, then we get to the next Dre record, which is Round Here. And, you know, when I heard the beat, I was like, damn, I know this sample from somewhere. You know, it sounded real similar to Eminem's beat to Stan, right?
Not to me. When I first heard it, I didn't think nothing about Stan. I don't listen to Eminem records. No disrespect to him, but I don't listen to Eminem records. I'm a gangster.
Because it uses the same sample used for Eminem's beat.
I can't tell. Fan talking about a fan, somebody that there's a groupie on Eminem dick that's writing letters and all kind of shit, dreaming of being him. My shit is round here, you know, gangster shit.
I was just saying that the beat used the same sample.
Well, that's Dr. Dre, he's a producer. Why wouldn't he use his shit? That's his shit. You know what I'm saying? Roger Troutman used the same sound on every beat he ever made. Barry White used the same sound on every beat he ever made.
Yeah, now you got me wrong. I wasn't criticizing it, homie.
No, I'm just giving you so you'll know, so the viewers can know. A producer has a sound that's identified with him. So that's an identification that's saying that Dr. Dre really put his hands on that track. I didn't hear Stan on that song when I heard it. That song didn't remind me of Stan. It made me want to start talking shit about round here. It ain't safe to leave the house. Don't fuck around here. Niggas will put you in the fuck around here. That's what I was on. I wasn't on no Stan. Write me a letter. I want to come see you. You're my favorite fan. All that wasn't on that bullshit. I'm gonna hate this shit, homie.
You crazy.
No, wait, that's my next single, so you know.
Oh, for real?
If you want to, yeah, I'm gonna shoot the video to make the motherfucker super gangster, because it's time for me to drop a Snoop Dogg single with just me on it. You know, without no feature, without no singing, without no dancing, without no bitches, without no smiling and laughing and 100 homies. It's just about me. You know what I'm saying? That's what time it is right now.
That's what's up, man. You know, the hook is real catchy. Like, I know that's probably gonna stay in people's heads.
That's what it is. It ain't safe to leave the house. Don't fuck around here.
Yup, and then we get to a bitch I knew. How did you hook up with Rhythm D, man? How'd that happen?
Rhythm D was back with us when we was in the Death Row days. He was one of the first producers at the Sonar Studio who used to make tracks for us before Dr. Dre really started giving us the attention that we deserve. You know what I'm saying? And that's when Dre wasn't really into the producer mode. He was just getting out of his NWA contract or whatnot. So Rhythm D was one of the producers that was at the studio that would always have beats. So, you know, I hooked back up with him through Battle Cat. He brought him by the studio. He brought a beat CD by. And when that motherfucking beat came through the motherfucking system, I was like, oh, I gotta have that. So it just reminded me of an old Too Short rap.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, damn, that's like Freaky Tales 2006.
Yeah, it's like a old Too Short rap, but I was like, let me put myself in the shoes that Too Short was in. Let me go back to my first time when I was, you know, saying what I was doing when I was, you know, a youngster trying to get me some or whatnot. And then Battle Cat came and added all the scratches and the music, and Tracy came and did the voices of the girls. And before you know it, that shit turned out like a big fly record. And then I shot an animated cartoon video for it because I wanted to see what it looked like in an animated cartoon, and ended up getting a whole movie deal out of it. So I got an animated cartoon movie that's coming out called The Adventures of the Blue Carpet Treatment. Well, I'm going to have to get with you and let you see a couple of scenes from it. This shit going to blow motherfuckers' minds for real.
Damn, that's dope. Did you say Tracy? Is that the same Tracy Nelson from the Death Row days?
Yes, sir. She out here with us right now on tour. She one of my background singers.
Shit, that's classic.
Yes, sir. That's what we do.
That's classic, man. And, you know, then we get to the Western Union track like this. No. Go ahead.
That was originally their song for their album, and I didn't really have nothing with them on my album, and I needed to represent them in a fly way to where it would be representative to where people could really appreciate it and respect it and say, well, you know, these niggas is dope. So I took the record off of their album and then had them get rid of their last verse and let me have the last verse, made it like it was a song that we did together, and I just felt like that song just... it felt good. It had a good feeling. Superfly did that on the production, the way the niggas was rapping, the topic, the hook, the singing, the melodies. That shit was appropriate. It's a perfect introduction for people to get a whiff of Western Union before they come out.
Yeah, man. Hopefully we finally get to see Superfly coming out on something when their record drop.
Yeah, Superfly got his own record he's doing with Daz too, but like I said, I just push Superfly to be more hungrier. He got to be more into it, like, you know. Like right now, I just produced a whole album, The Big Squeeze. How the fuck did I produce a whole album? And I'm not even a producer, but I became a producer overnight. And you got guys around me that have been producers their whole life, and they haven't produced a whole album yet. It's because you got to be hungry, you got to be willing to do it. And it's like, hopefully I put fire in Superfly and the rest of these cats around me that want to start producing whole albums. Because to me, Superfly can produce a whole album. You just got to want to do it.
Right. So, How has the chemistry in the studio been with the Western Union, like, when y'all working together?
Niggas is tough, man. I did a song with Damani the other day, one just I produced, you know what I'm saying?
You mean it's all about Damani?
Yeah. Dude, I did that for him because I just wanted to give him some shit. Because I like Cuz personality. He's just a cool nigga. He just, like, to me, he's a brother from another mother. Me and him do the same kind of shit. I like his whole swag and everything. So I just wanted to, you know, start producing for niggas like him and Bad Luck on a solo tip away from Western Union. So that way, when we go back to finishing up the Western Union album, I have a better feel for what's their favorite kind of shit. Because I already know how Superfly get in. What was the Damani song? You heard that?
Nah, he told me about it.
And what'd he say about it?
He was like, man, I just did a fucking banger with Snoop Dogg. And he produced.
Real spit. Put it together from hand and from scratch. Like cooking a motherfucking cake. I even did two for Dub C like that, where I cooked some for him. It's like, what I'm doing right now, not to get off of the album shit and what we talking about, but I'm on a mission right now. I got an alter ego named Nigarachi, where I just produce beats and call my favorite artists that I always wanted to work with, and I just give them tracks and produce for them, and hopefully these niggas will get out there on these tracks and they should be heard and seen. Hopefully my name attached to it will make them be heard and seen, because I'm tired of all these good rappers not being seen and heard, so... I'm just giving niggas tracks, you know what I'm saying? The Big Squeeze album, I produced that whole album where I just did it, didn't charge niggas. It was like, you know what, I'm going to put this album out, and hopefully you niggas will become stars. And then after that, I got the Warzone album where you niggas are going to get money up front, and if the record sells, you're going to make money on the back end. Then I got the Western Union album doing the same thing. I got Corrupt album doing the same thing, where I'm going to produce these whole motherfucking albums and let niggas know this is how it's supposed to be done. And then I'm just going to disappear from the producer scene and leave it alone for a minute.
I feel, yeah, we're going to get to the whole Big Squeeze and the Nigarachi thing, you know, right after this. But, you know, after that, we got Which One of You, which is the Nine Inch Dicks. Tell us about the group, man.
Nine Inch Dicks was a group that we created years ago at the studio with Dr. Dre, me, Mailman, a couple other cats. It's just because we like the Nine Inch Nails, and we was like, we need to be the first black rock group called the Nine Inch Dicks. We just clowning around, and all we should do is just take old school songs, you know, and just put our own twist on it, like, I'd rather fuck with you. Like, you know the shit Easy and all the niggas used to do back
then? Yeah, yeah.
Take songs and just put nasty shit on them. So we started doing that, then we started making records, and then before you know it, we started making records that was sounding like real fucking records. So I started putting them out, slipping them out on the Welcome to the Church, slipping them out on the compilation album, put one on the last album I put out, RNG, I put Can You Control Your Hoe, and then Bitch I'm Through With You, put them two on there. And I just decided to put this one on this one. It's like the Nine Inch Dicks is creating a fan base and really making good music that's good for the soul and good for the heart, because it's shit that niggas normally couldn't say. We saying it when we the Nine Inch Dicks because we don't give a fuck.
So it's Snoop Dogg, Superfly, Lil Half-Dead?
Snoop Dogg, Superfly, Lil Half-Dead, Jelly Roll, Mailman, Sean Luan, Lil G, LT. It's a lot of members, man. Jelly Roll. We got members, man, because, you know, certain songs when niggas slide by and get to singing, nigga, you in the group. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Oh, yeah, you got to be 9 inches, though. That ain't for me to tell. The bitches got to say that.
I feel you. So, you think we're going to see, like, a full record, or is it just something on the side for fun?
Man, I'm dropping a 9-inch dick record this summer, man. I ain't even playing with it. 9-inch dicks. The album is called Coming Soon.
Okay. Tell us about 1500 or Nothing, who produced the track.
Oh, yeah, that's what they do. You know, they're part of this program, too. You know, 1500, get down with it and, you know, give up the kind of music that we need. They really, like, gangster as fuck when they want to be, and they R&B as fuck when they want to be. That was a cross between, like, some Prince, Morris Day and the Time shit mixed with a little gangster pizzazz. So whatever I need from them, they always come to the table strapped up, ready to go. Some West Coast producers that's looking for a shot and looking for a way out, and Snoop Dogg is always the opportunist.
Yeah, I think I heard that beat before for a little underground record that I did for the group called NV.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. I mean, I never heard it. I just, when I heard the beat, I was like, I gotta have that, cuz. So whatever y'all did with that is mine now. You know how I do.
And then we get to I Wanna Fuck You with Akon, which is on both y'all records, right?
Yeah.
How did that come together?
He came by the studio one night, you know what I'm saying? I did it. Couple of records with him that night, and that particular one was the last one that we did. He was like, I want to play some beats that I did. I was like, alright, cool. So he put the beats on, and when that beat came on, I was like, let me get out on that. So I took off on the first verse. He came in with the hook. He was like, you need to do another verse. I'm like, fuck it. So I did another verse, and before you know it, there you have it. The shit was hot. He was playing it, blowing it up, and my people was calling me saying, man, we need to put this on your record too. This record getting so big. I was like, man, I ain't really tripping. That's Cuz' record. I was like, man, this record is getting too big. I was like, fuck it, put it on both our records and shot the video, and there you have it. One of the biggest songs in 2006.
Yeah, that shit is banging every club. And then, go ahead.
Man, that's, like I say, one thing about Snoop Dogg, he's going to be on one of the biggest records of the year every year, even if my albums ain't shit, even if I don't have an album out. I'm always going to be a part of some of the hottest shit of the year every year.
Okay, and then we get to, with Jamie Foxx. Tell us about that song.
Jamie actually called me like the last 3 days I had to turn in my record, because I had went to his house one night and we was just partying, hanging out. We fucked around and made some music, and I had forgot all about this song. And he had called me one night saying, man, I got the girls over here, man, they love this song, man, you gotta put this on your album. I'm like, man, what song? Played the motherfucker, and I heard all the girls in the background singing all of the words to it. I was like, uh-oh, I gotta move some shit around. So I moved some shit around on the album and put him on there. Because, you know, he gave me the hell of a speech about how it would be so beneficial to have him on the record. And, you know, I love him anyway, so I was like, fuck it. So I made room for him and put it on there. And shit, everywhere I go, the girls love that record right there. They was thinking about making that my next single. It was so talked about until I pulled back and said I want to do something with me by myself.
I feel, yeah, that Jamie Foxx did his Prince impersonation on that, right?
Boy, he did that, didn't he? I couldn't get Prince, but I got Jack. This is good.
All right, and then we got Beat Up On Your Pads, which you shot a little video for that too, right?
Yeah, that's for my little homies in my football league. So, you know, that wasn't about hip-hop. It wasn't about, you know, trying to be dope, trying to be fly, trying to be gangster. That was about me being so proud of my football league and the little kids that play in my league and how they so inspired by me. I want to give them something that's theirs, that's their theme song. They can grow up living that, loving that. That song was made from me to them. You know what I'm saying? I moved some shit off my album to make that song happen. My label didn't really understand why I didn't put a song that could be marketed on radio, a song that could be, you know what I'm saying? When I didn't really give a fuck about that, I was more about this song for my kids that I coach in my football league and every little kid around the world that wants to play football, that ever played football. This record is for y'all, and that's why I did it.
How's the feedback been?
Lovely. I'm talking about, I got all kind of kids, little white kids, black kids, Spanish kids come up to me all the time talking about, oh, Snoop, I like to beat up on my pads. I'm talking about they loving that record right there. Like, it's an anthem because when you play football, it's a such thing, you know, when you beat on your pads, that's like a rhythmic thing. It's like a musical thing that you do. It's something that's been going on since the beginning of time with Little League football. So all I did was put some shit out there that was already out there, but just put it out there in a bigger way.
Yeah, yeah. The video looked like a lot of fun, too. I thought that was good, a good look to have all the kids in there playing and shit.
Yeah, that's all for my league, too, the Snoop U Football League. We just completed our second season, 2,000 kids strong. We're going to play our Snoop U Football League, Snooper Bowl, in Miami the day before the Super Bowl, February 3rd. So we want everybody to come out there and be a part of that as well.
Okay. And then we get to Don't Stop, which was produced by THX, right?
Yeah, THX produced that. That was a Warzone song. That was originally on their album. And I didn't have nothing on them for my album, so I felt like this was the perfect song because I wasn't rapping on it. I was just doing the hook. And the way them niggas was fitting, the way that gangster beat was coming off so hard, I was like, this is the perfect representation of Warzone. The first time people hearing them together, this makes people want to hear more from them as opposed to being turned away saying, nah, them niggas is whack together.
Right. Yeah, judging from the two songs on your album, it sounded like Goldie Lo kind of switched up his flow.
Goldie Lo is just super hood with his, man. The beat make him move, man. Goldie Lo, one of the hardest niggas I ever worked with.
But compared to his Eastsiders raps, his flow was a little bit different on the songs. Like, yeah, you know, you'd be rapping fast for two bars, then you slow down, and he was just switching it up.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, you got to hear him. That's you got to hear him, man, like I say. When you hear him on his Warzone record and hear him on this shit by himself, Goldie Loke is a motherfucking name. Real spit. I got him out there real, real right now to where the shit that you hear on him is just a tease because you're so used to hearing him this way. I wanted to let you hear him this way. And then when you hear him on his album, you're going to hear him in every way you could possibly imagine.
Okay. And you know, man, people told me to ask you about this one more time. What's up with the Murder Murder song or Murder These Murderers song with Cam, man?
It'll never come out.
That's your last word?
That's my last word. You already see how they own me, man. What, you want me to go to jail forever?
Nah, man.
They already own me, you know what I'm saying? So I can't give them no more reason, no more excuses. It was an expression that we was expressing on the song tip. You know, ain't nothing wrong with us expressing that in a musical way. But, you know, after we thought about it, we was like, we'd rather view our opinions elsewhere.
Okay. And then, you know, we get to Imagine, which I believe was originally intended for Busta Rhymes' album, right? Because before Busta's album came out, Busta had interviews talking about this song Imagine, yeah, with Dre, talking about what would have happened if they never had the rap game.
And that interview, didn't know it, didn't see it, didn't touch it. I wasn't in the studio when Busta was working on his record. I participated on one song on his album that didn't make it, but, you know, that's my homeboy. I don't know. Like I say, that's the aftermath camp. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, it's a lot of beats that floated around my camp that could have been Cuz' beat that ended up being his beat. So you never know. I'm just thankful that the shit came out on my shit and came out dope like it did. It makes perfect sense with me and Dre to be spitting on it like that with D'Angelo on the hook. It's the appropriate topic. It's the right shit. The music is right. The sound, the vibe, everything. So I'm pleased with that record right there.
Yeah, it felt good to hear Dre rap again.
Yeah, and I'm the only motherfucker that can get him to rap again.
How did the D'Angelo connection happen?
I had to reach out and pull it and make shit happen. We had Pooh Bear originally do the hook, which he sounded outstanding on it. But I just was reaching out, like, I really want to get name player on there, somebody that could really give us a name back, you know, value to it. No disrespect to Pooh Bear, but I was just trying to play the name game on that one right there. So I was thinking, like, I had never worked with D'Angelo, and me and him was always cool. I was like, where is he at? So I did my research and had my peoples reach out to Angie Stone, Auntie Angie Stone. She made it happen. She went through her Rolodex and made the connections and got us on the phone, and we sent him the music and kept sending him the music, got him on the phone with me, got him on the phone with Dre, and told him what we wanted, and then he got it right and sent it back, and there you have it.
Okay. And I believe originally you had a different verse on it, because I know Cam just put a song on his MySpace where he was rapping a verse that you were originally rapping on a video, studio session with a video or whatever.
Yeah, that was the first verse, but, you know, we ended up changing it because, like, me and Dre were saying the same thing. So it was like, rather than us say the same thing, you know, re-scripting and say something completely different, so I like the new way it was, you know what I'm saying? Even though the way Cam did it for me was dope as fuck, but Dr. Dre knows best.
Okay. And then we get to the last song off the record, which is Conversation, which was a perfect closing with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, dream come true. You know, the work with Stevie has always been a dream of mine. And the particular record right there, DJ Pooh brought it to my attention. He had the sample and the music, and he brought it to me, and then he was like, nigga, why don't you get Stevie to really sing it? I'm like, you think I can? I put the call out. Stevie came through, and we made it happen. And, you know, we redid the whole record. Once Stevie got on there, he was like, I want to do it all over. He did all the vocals over, played all the music over, brought in background vocalists, played harmonica, played keys. This nigga played shit like he could see. Did all of that shit all by itself, where it was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like magical. And then once we did it, I ran into him again in New York about like 2 weeks later at a record store. And he was like, nephew, let me talk to you. I'm like, what's up? He's like, I got a few things I want you to do. I'm like, what's up? He said, you need to take out them two cuss words you said on that song. They don't sit right with me. And I was like, all right. So I went and changed the cuss words and made it a magical record.
Okay. You know what my favorite part of that song is? Well, you know, where y'all talking, and you know, you're like, you know, I love you, man, and you're like, yeah, I love you too, and then you start rapping again. That shit was so, because I thought it was over, and then you start rapping again.
Yeah, that's cold. Now, you can catch me down on my knees, begging the Lord, please. Yeah, that one.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, you know, we just got around the whole album, man. I had to tell you this, because I've been getting so many emails about it. People were like, how the hell didn't Wannabes get on the album?
Couldn't clear the sample.
Oh, man.
No way possible. Shot Money changed the music, changed everything. And then once we changed all the music, they hit us back and said, Nate Dogg can't say one of these because it sounds like one of these.
what about that Long Gone track? Because that shit was hard. With Denon Porter?
Yeah, Mr. Porter. I was holding that one for this the Tookie Williams movie that I got called Rest in Peace.
Oh, for real?
Yes, it made more sense to go on that movie because it was like a sentimental record where I was like really, I wasn't being gangster. I was like really, you know, educating and being loving right there. So, movie and everything, it fits that.
That's beautiful. And you know, I saw the Brother Lin Chung track came out on the mixtape because I wanted to ask you about that too, the Territory.
Yeah, that's my nigga, you know. Yeah. I just love Brother Lin Chung. I'm a fan of his, so I just wanted to get on a record with him so people can know he's still around and that I fuck with him.
Definitely.
Found out I'm too. Dazza Corrupt did some money too, so we just trying to keep him out there. He's one of them artists that I would like go give him a deal and be like, you know what, nigga, I'm gonna put your album out through. Whoop de whoop whoop. I'm probably gonna find him. So, brother, let's just Snoop Dogg, nigga. If you out there, reach out to me so I can go and do your album. Cause you need to be out with me. We do it independent. Fuck it.